There we go. All right. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, next week we have potluck right after church. So if you aren't aware of what that is where everybody brings a dish to share. And we're actually going to enjoy that meal together over at the Tri-Township Park in Troy. So next Sunday, right after church is over, we're all going to pile in the cars and head over to the park. And so I want to invite everybody to come and enjoy a meal with us. We're also just going to be having some fun and games and stuff. And then the following month, we're going to be doing that same thing first Sunday, only instead of going to the Troy Park, we're going to go to the Woodland Park here in Collinsville. So this month we'll be at Troy. Next month, first Sunday, we'll be here in Collinsville for first Sunday potluck, kind of taking advantage of our summer months. So we really want to encourage everybody to be aware of that and to be attending that. We also have the Antioch Collective Annual Assembly coming up. Not this next weekend, but the following weekend. And if you're not sure what that is, that's a conference where there's going to be a lot of tools and lessons and stuff. If you're interested in being close to God, if you're interested in knowing more about why we do things the way we do things here at the church, we're going to have a lot of classes kind of explaining the philosophy and biblical basis for a lot of that stuff. So if you're interested, it's going to be a powerful time of learning and also worship. You can get details off the bulletin. It's on the back. And also a registration link and a discount code for Crossings members. So I want to encourage you guys to check that out. We're actually in the middle of a series here where we're looking at God's promises that he's made throughout history. We've been looking at the covenants of God. We started out a couple of weeks ago looking at God's promise to Adam. We talked last week about God's promise to Noah. And today we're going to be looking at God's promise to Abraham as the story of God working in history continues to unfold in the book of Genesis. Now there's several hundred years, by the time we get to Abraham in Genesis, there's several hundred years that has passed between the events we read about last week with the flood and then what we're going to read about this week with Abraham. But I want to point out a theme to you guys, because all this stuff we're looking at in the Old Testament, guys, why does God give us stories like what we have in the Old Testament? Why does he give it to us? In the New Testament, it says so we can learn from it. So we can look at the stories that happened to these people long ago, and we can identify where we're like them, or where we're thinking like them, or where we're not thinking like them, where we can compare our lives to what God's expectations were then and how God worked then. Because, guys, when we open up the Bible, we're opening up the mind of God. We get to see what he thinks about things. We get to see how he feels about things. We get to figure out how to please him best in our life. And so when we look at stories like this guy from Abraham years ago, it's not irrelevant to my life when I try to see myself in it, when I try to learn what I can from it and apply it to my life. And here's the truth, guys, and this is the first blank on your notes. You've got some notes in your bulletin. If you want to pull those out, it's going to have some spaces for you to take some things down. One of the truths that I see in my study of Scripture is God's promises are always linked to God's call on my life. There's always a linking between his promises of blessing and the call that he makes on my life. One of the themes that we see present throughout Scripture is God's people are always promised blessing. God's people are always promised that their problems are going to work out. God's people are always promised that there's a solution, there's a purpose to everything, and God's going to work everything out for good for those that really pursue him. But guys, there's always a call in order to be part of God's people, for there to be a pursuit of God on our part. Always, right? Now, we're going to look at what God promises to a guy named Abraham here. And this is Genesis 12. I'm just going to read through this and we're going to talk about it, okay? The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord God had told him, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. All right, so this is a big promise in the Bible. This doesn't have, when you're reading the text of Scripture, like a big flashing sign that says, stop and pay great attention to this, but we need to. Because the rest of the story, if you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, if you read the whole story of the Bible, this is a really, really, really important promise that God makes to Abraham here. And the promise is, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Who's the actor? Who's the hero? It's God. God says, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to bless you. But then he also has called Abraham to move. He's called Abraham to put one step in front of the other and to move in order to take hold of this promise that God has for Abraham's life. Now, guys, God has a promise for your life. He's got a promise for each and every one of our lives. He promises, guys, that he's got a plan for us. Whenever we decide to embrace him with our whole heart, when we decide to pursue him with our whole heart, guys, he's got a design for our life that is going to be the best life we can have as long as we pursue him. But that pursuit has got to be there. And guys, that door for God is open to everybody. He doesn't close it on anybody, but he leaves it up to us whether we're going to step through it or not. We've got to move. You've got to take a step in order to embrace what God has in store for you. I want to look at some principles today that are going to help us be like Abraham. Because no matter what God's plan is for my life, guys, there's always call for movement. There's always call for pursuit on God's behalf when he places a call on my life. So what makes me want to pursue God? What made Abraham want to pursue God? What made him willing to listen when God said, pack up and move? Pack up and go to this new country that I have in store for you. Why would Abraham do that? Well, if I want to be close to God like Abraham, the M in our acronym today is I need to be motivated by God's goodness. I need to be motivated by God's goodness. Guys, Abraham believed in his heart that God was good. He believed in his heart that God could be trusted. Otherwise, why, when God called Abraham to move, why in the world would he do that unless he believed God was good? He believed God could be trusted and was trustworthy. We must remember, if we're going to be motivated to put one step in front of the other, guys, God is the ultimate source of blessing for my life. I can't bless myself better than God can bless me. If he's calling me to move, if he's calling me to do something, if he's calling me to something, whether it's hard or easy, it's something that's for my good, but I've got to see him that way where he's worth it. Guys, the hero of the story, I will make you, I will bless you. The hero of the story is God. And we fall into a trap when we start believing that there's good outside of God. You guys remember when we looked at the story of Adam and Eve the other day? Eve got messed up when she saw that fruit was good for wisdom and pleasing to the eye. She started thinking maybe God can't be trusted. Maybe there's good outside of God. Maybe God is holding out on me. It's the same sin. Guys, whenever we rationalize walking away from the Lord because we see something that we rationalize is really a blessing, even though God's not involved in it. We've got to keep in mind who the real source of blessing is. Guys, another part of God's blessing to Abraham here is this promise of land. I want to pick up in verse 12. I think 14 starts on your notes. But it says in verse 12, 13, 12, Abram lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. I'll pick up in 14 now. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land. Okay? Guys, this is a crazy blessing that God is going to give Abraham here. This is a large portion of land in the Middle East that God says, this is going to be your inheritance, you and your offspring. Now, what we see is this is exactly what happens in history with the people that are related to Abraham, who came from Abraham, and we'll talk more about that as we go here. But guys, if Abraham didn't know that God was good, he would have never taken steps toward God in the first place. And Abraham had grown up hearing about God, apparently. He had become a faithful man of God. We've got to be close to God. One of the themes that we see in all these promises that we look at in these stories we're talking about, guys, 100% of these people were close to God that are involved in these covenants with God. Abraham was close to God. And we see that by his actions. We see what comes out in his actions. Secondly, guys, if I want to be close to God like Abraham, I must overcome fear through God's greatness. I've got to be motivated by his goodness, but then I need to overcome my fear through God's greatness. If I will remember who's in charge and whose I am, I'll be okay. Abraham made the choice in his story to believe who God was and trust in his control, even when it was really hard, when God made some promises that were hard to believe. Guys, I need to remember that God is in control when life is exciting, when life is easy, when life is good. God is in control. In Genesis 15, 1 through 6, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So here's this guy who's older at this point in his life, Abram, and he's made this astounding promise from God. This promise that, hey, old guy who doesn't really have kids, you're going to have all these children. I'm going to give you this great future, even though it's very hard to believe that this could happen at this point in your life. All Abram has at this point is a servant's child who's going to become his heir. But God says, that's not the future that I have in store for you. Now, it says Abram chose to believe God. He heard from God. He spoke with God. He's given this promise from God. It's unlikely, but he chooses to believe him. We call that faith. That's an aspect of faith where he chooses to be loyal to God's word, even though it was a hard-to-believe word. Abram says, no, this is right. If God says it, it's right. God is in control in the midst of this really happy news. And it's easy to remember God is in control when life is easy. It's easy to remember God is in control when you're looking forward to things. But guys, when life is hard, that's when it can be difficult to believe that God is in control. And God is not only with Abraham here during this happy time, God's going to be with Abraham's people during the hard times too. And he predicts it ahead of time. God is in control when life is difficult. And he's about to make a promise to Abram about what's coming up. where there's going to be difficulty. In Genesis 15, 12 through 16, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." So he makes a promise here, guys, that in the future, at some point, Abram's descendants are going to be enslaved for 400 years. You guys know what that's referring to? It's the story of Moses and what's going to happen. This was promised to Abraham ahead of time. Before this ever happened, this enslavement, this time of terrible enslavement and misery is predicted. Do you ever struggle with feeling like God is present when you're suffering? How would you have felt if you were born in this time when they were all enslaved and they were having to get up and have really terrible work days, you know, sun up to sundown, and just working like dogs to the point that they're crying out to God? Guys, that time was predicted before it happened. God tells Abraham ahead of time, this time is going to come where it's going to be miserable. Guys, God is not absent in the misery. God is not absent in the misery. And we don't have control over exactly what happens in our life, right? We don't have control over that. And it can be really easy whenever you're facing really horrible things or tough hardship, it can be easy to think God isn't present or God is absent. But here, guys, he's present. He's not absent. He knows this is going to happen ahead of time. And who's still in control? God is, right? Despite all this, he's still in control. But it can be difficult to forget how great he is and how powerful he is when we're in the midst of that stuff. It can be very difficult. But Abraham's a good example of somebody who doesn't give up. If I want to be close to God like Abraham, the V is I need to vanquish doubt with God's faithfulness. I need to vanquish doubt with God's faithfulness. Guys, I can count if God says it, he's going to do it. Amen? If God says it's true, then it's true. If God says it's going to happen, then it's going to happen. I've got to remember that God is perfectly faithful. He doesn't go back on his word. If he promises it, he's going to follow through. And all these promises he's making to Abraham, he's going to follow through on. We can take that to the bank. He's going to give Abraham a couple more promises here. And so in Genesis 17, this is not on your notes, but I'll have it up on the screen here, starting in verse 9. "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants, and after you, the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it'll be the sign of the covenant between me and you.'" And then in verse 15, "God also said to Abraham, 'As for your wife Sarai, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her.' Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, 'If only Ishmael might live under your blessing.' Then God said, 'Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will give him, you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." All right. So that's a chunk, and this is important, guys. This is a big part of how the story of the Bible unfolds. God gives his covenant of circumcision to Abraham, and then he goes on to say, your wife Sarah, who's really old, is going to have a baby, and you're going to name him Isaac. And that's who my covenant is going to continue with. Now, God's covenant to Adam was, someday I'm going to crush the head of the serpent, right? Someday Satan is ultimately going to be defeated. His covenant with Noah is that I'm never going to flood the world with water again. There's going to be a judgment, but it's not going to come in the form of a flood like water. It's going to come in the flood like fire, is what we learn in 2 Peter, right? So a little different now with Abraham. The covenant that God is making with Abraham is, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to take this childless man and this childless woman, I'm going to give them a child, and then out of that child is going to come this great nation, and this nation is going to bless the whole world. This nation that comes from this man's seed is going to bless the whole world. There's going to be somebody or something that comes out of this man's seed that's going to bless the whole world. We see also, God says, the sign of the covenant is circumcision. You're going to mark your males. You're going to mark them, and this is an everlasting covenant, is what God says here. That you're going to mark your males, and they're going to know that they're set apart. They're different from the rest of the world, right? And I'm going to bless the whole world through you. Guys, this is a big part of the Bible, big part of the story of the Bible, right? Now, this is a really unlikely promise for God to make to this old man. Do you think Abraham might have doubted this promise? He chuckles, okay, at one point. There's not an indication that he doubted. Now, Sarah did, because she laughs when she hears this promise, you're going to have a baby. She just cackles, and it's a sign of disbelief. She's called out on it. Abraham seems to believe it, even though he chuckled at it, right? Seems to believe this is going to happen. But guys, when you start looking at the promises that God makes, for instance, the Bible says Jesus is coming back someday. You want to know why I believe Jesus is coming back someday? Because every single promise that is made in the Bible comes true that I've seen so far. Now, there's some that are still to come, like Jesus is going to come back and judge the world someday. That's still to come, but the reason I believe that's likely to happen, and it is going to happen, is because every single promise that I see in the Bible comes true. When God says it, you can count on him to be faithful. That helps me with my doubt. When I'm struggling with doubt, I look in Scripture and there's so much verified events that have happened, so much verifiable information, so many things I can look at, especially back in ancient history. Guys, did you know that there are multiple civilizations that science said did not exist that were mentioned in the Bible? That over time, archaeology and other disciplines will find, no, they did exist, and verify what's in the Bible is true. Did you know that that has happened multiple times? With whole civilizations that Scripture says, these people lived, here's what they did, and then we find out, oh yeah, it actually was accurate, even though many resources have said this isn't. Guys, when the Bible says something is true, you can take it to the bank. And this promise to Abraham that I'm going to give you a child, I'm going to raise a nation up through your line, and then this nation's going to bless the whole world. Guys, that came true. That came true like so many other promises in Scripture. So when I'm thinking about how this book and these stories are relevant to my life, that's what validates my belief in this stuff. It's I can go back and look and say, okay, this was promised, this is what happened, this was promised, this is what happened. And the story of Abraham is no different. Now, that promise of the land, guys, Abraham had two different children. He had one through a servant named Hagar, and then he had another through Sarah, Isaac, who became the child of the promise. Did you know that the Jewish people and the Arabic people all trace their lineage back to Abraham? 100% of them. And so that whole region of the Middle East, you know, all these promises about how your descendants will be too great to count, every single nation in the Middle East traces its lineage back to Abraham. You can go look this up. That's all of them. That's the Islamic countries, that's the Jewish nation. They all claim to be children of Abraham. What did God say was going to happen? I'm going to give you, this guy with no children, I'm going to make you into the father of how many nations? Many nations. You're going to be the father of many nations. And then God makes this special covenant with the descendants of Isaac. The everlasting covenant with the descendants of Isaac. Guys, do you know who Isaac becomes the father of? Yeah. It's Isaac. It becomes the father of Israel, becomes the father of Jacob, the guy whose name is later changed to Israel. All the story of what happens with Israel is coming out of Abraham's seed. And ultimately, guys, the one who's going to come is Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate blessing that's going to come from Abraham. Jesus Christ is a great, 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 great grandson of Abraham. And this is all leading up to him and what he's going to do. I want to read what God says in 21, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." So guys, what we see here is God doing exactly what God said he would do. He's doing exactly what he said he would do. And the same is true for us, guys, in our lives. God has made promises to you. And I know sometimes we look at these promises from God as we just don't think about them. But like when we look at that passage, for instance, in Jeremiah 29, where it talks about God having plans for you to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And we talk about seeking after God with your whole heart and how you can embrace this life with God. If you'll seek after him with your whole heart, if you'll chase after him, like it really means when we talk about first commandment faithfulness, loving God with everything, like that's the most important command in the Bible, is to love God with your whole heart. When you really embrace that, you embrace this life that God has mapped out for you to be the best life for you. I really do believe God is a God of blessing. I don't mean like in this prosperity gospel kind of way where life is not without hardship, but guys, there is a biblical truth. When you pursue God with your whole heart, you are blessed in that. When you pursue him like he designed you to pursue him, that is the best life you can have. You can't have a better life than going half throttle or seeking something else for fulfillment. Guys, if you'll just make God your most important pursuit, you will reap blessing out of that. And I really think that Abraham models this for us in his faith. He really does. Lastly, if I want to be close to God like Abraham, I've got to embrace living by faith. Embrace living by faith. This is a crazy story. In Genesis 22, this is after God has promised, hey, I'm going to give you a son named Isaac, and I'm going to make this whole nation out of this kid named Isaac. And then he has this kid named Isaac at a really crazy time in life when he's old. He's 100. Sarah was 90, and she has a baby named Isaac. And then this happens. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Sacrifice him as a burnt offering, what? Take your son that I promised you up to this mountain and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. He's testing him, right? He's testing him. And this is crazy. There's not another story in the Bible like this. So I'll just read this. This is, I'll throw it up on the screen for you, verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up, saw the place in the distance, and said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac. He said to him, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up, said to his father, Abraham, father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. How many of you guys, this is your first time reading this? Okay, a few of you? Called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up and there in a thicket saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Okay, this is a crazy story. So God promises, I'm going to give you the son Isaac. You're going to have a family through him. And then God tests him by saying, hey, take this son of yours that I promised you would have and go sacrifice him. Wow. And Abraham goes through with it. And what's crazy is what's going through Abraham's mind as he goes through with it. Because Abraham actually believed that God was going to provide. So if you skip down to your notes, verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So what did he think was going to happen? He thought, if I kill him, God's going to raise him from the dead. If I sacrifice him, God's going to raise him from the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death. from death. That's what he thought, is I believe God is so powerful, he's made these promises to me, even if Isaac dies, God has promised my offspring is going to go through Isaac, so God's just going to raise him from the dead. What is that a testament to? It's a testament to Abraham's faith. He believed in God's promises so strongly that he was willing to think that way. And that is how he thought. Because we call that faith. Faith is four things. It's not just mental belief, like, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. It's belief, it's loyalty, it's trust, and it's obedience. It's those four things. And Abraham is a really good model of somebody who possessed faith that was strong and that was willing to move. What's crazy is God tests him this way. He tests him by saying, hey, will you give your son up for me? Did Abraham have to give his son up? No. He stopped him, right? Now, some would argue that it's kind of jacked up that God would even ask him to do that. Some people would make the case that this is one of the reasons we can make the case that the Bible is cruel and outdated and shouldn't be listened to is because of the story where God calls Abraham to give up his son. He tests him. Abraham is willing to give up his son, believing that he wasn't really giving up his son. He was willing to give up his son with the belief that his son was going to be raised from the dead, but then God stops him, and it's prophetic the way Abraham speaks here that God is going to be the one that provides a lamb for the sacrifice. That was true in his story with Isaac. It's also true in an ultimate sense, because while God doesn't follow through on having Abraham give his son, God chooses to give his son for us. And he uses Abraham's seed. Guys, all this stuff in these promises about how God is going to fulfill all these promises in the future. Guys, Jesus is a direct descendant of Abraham. It's in his lineage. You can trace it back to Abraham. And Jesus is the one that God sends into the world that gives us a chance. He dies on the cross for us and says that anybody who will trust and follow him, he'll apply all that goodness to, all that forgiveness, all that righteousness that's his, he'll give to us. Guys, he is the lamb that God provides for the sacrifice. He is the, in the middle of this plan that God has to bless the whole world, Jesus is central to it. And this promise of blessing is all leading up to him. So I'd like to pray, and then we're going to take communion together, and then we'll close out this morning. Father, as we think about your promises and the fulfillment that we see in our lives today, how you worked through Abraham and Isaac, Father, I just pray that we can remember you sacrificed your son so that we could be okay. You sacrificed your son so that our sins can be forgiven. You are 100% faithful, Lord. When we look at your promises and see how you work in history and in our lives, you are 100% faithful. Help us to remember that and to be shaped by it, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. The last passage on your notes is James 2, 21 through 24. And this is James writing to group of people remembering what Abraham did, how he was given these promises and then acted on them as an example. It says, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So this passage is just saying, hey, if you say you believe something, it needs to show up in your actions. If you say you believe God and you believe these promises, is it showing up in your actions? Now, we talk every week here about how the very best life you can have is wrapped up in a relationship with God. I believe that's the truth. I believe the closer you are to God, if God is really good and he's got a monopoly on good, the closer you are to God, the closer you are to goodness. The further away you are from God, the further away you are from goodness. Does that make sense? You guys sure? You know how this works? Okay. It's kind of like if you get in a car and you get on a road, that road has got a destination. Amen? The road has got a destination. What if you get on the wrong road? If I want to go to Florida for vacation because of that nice sunny beach down there, but I get on the road that goes north, am I going to make it to Florida? Maybe if I go all the way around the equator, right? I don't want to go that far. You got to get on a road that leads the right way. And the road that leads the right way for your life today is not a road that's further away from God, it's a road that's closer to God. And part of why the church is so important is the church is part of the road that helps you get closer to God. If you'll get on the road that leads to God and put one foot in front of the other and keep walking, eventually you're going to make some progress. But if you get on a road that leads you away from God and you put one foot in front of the other, you're going to make some progress that way too, right? So it's important that these little decisions that we make, like when we look in God's Word and we see all this stuff about God and how to shape our lives by it, we've got a decision to make. Am I going to do something with that, or am I just going to kind of let that bounce off my heart and go on? I want to encourage you guys, as we think about the promises that God has made and the effects that they have on your life, the main theme in this whole series and in the scriptures is that intimacy with God should be one of our top priorities in life, or our top priority in life. Bringing glory to God through the way I live should be my top priority in life. And little decisions that I make along the way are going to affect that. You've got a cardstock piece of paper in your bulletin. If you want to pull that out, I want to invite you to make a decision today. Guys, have you gotten connected and talked with someone about your personal relationship with God? Do you feel like you're right with God today? If you are struggling with questions about that, or if you just don't even know if you really can believe any of this stuff, that we talk about here at church, I want to encourage you to mark on your card that you'd like a personal Bible study. And we'll get somebody together with you that could show you answers to those questions and also probably share with some that they've had themselves that may be similar. If you just aren't sure about your relationship with God, you know, that's another place and thing to do to really get some of those answers about what does it look like to personally pursue God and you know, how can I know that I'm right with Him and how can I be saved? Those are all things that are really, really good questions to ask and get answers to. We've also got small groups here, guys. We've got Bible studies. We've got all kinds of counseling materials. If there's anything we can do to help you in your pursuit of God, intimacy with God is central. And these promises that God makes, guys, that affect so many millions of lives, all of the principles driving God's good promises that He makes bless so many, but guys, they will bless you personally too, because God cares about you personally, and He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And so I just want to encourage you guys, anytime we open the Bible and start looking, just let it affect your heart and let it affect you where you'll take a step and just ask, what's the next step that I need to take? I'm going to pray for us in a moment, and I want you to think about that question. What's the next step that I can take today to take a step closer to God? What does that look like for me? And if there's anything we can do here at the church to help you, we would really like to help you. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song, and that'll give you a chance to fill that card out. And then we'll sing one more song after that and pass some, and you can drop your card in the basket when it comes by. So I do want to encourage you to respond today. Let me pray. Father God, as we close out today, I pray we can really take these stories about Abraham to heart, seeing him as a man, not who was perfect, but as a man who did put one foot in front of the other in movement toward you, even when promises made were kind of crazy sometimes, God, and the expectations were hard sometimes for him. He wasn't always faithful, Lord, but he was a man who did move, and I pray we can move today as well. Help us to remember when you call us, God, you also call us into something else. You call us out of something and into something else 100% of the time. God, whatever we're coming out of today, Father, if there's anything that's holding us back from you, I pray that you will help us tear that idol down and move toward you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.